you're thankful. You see, today is such a very special day. It is the anniversary of Victory Church. 14 years ago, it started. With 22 people in a little white church on Center Street. God began something great, a move in Troy that no one could even imagine what would happen. And when I look around and you think, ooh, 14 years, that's quite a bit of time. Let me tell you, we are just getting started. We haven't even begun to reach the people that we want to reach, that God has called us to reach. So don't think this is it, because this is the beginning. 14 years may sound a lot, but we're just getting revved up. Is that right, Josh? That's right. And I'm so thankful that God called us to plant a church right here in Troy, in the middle of a field where there was nothing but some grass and some trees. But God had a bigger plan. He had a bigger idea for this area, because he knew that they needed Jesus, that they needed a place to come no matter who you were. It didn't matter what your last name was. It didn't matter which side of the tracks you were born on. It didn't matter what your past was. It didn't matter what you'd done. You were welcomed into this place. This is a place that God has made for the hurting, for the lost, for the whoever wants to come. It was here for you. So we celebrate that today. Thankful that God called us here. Thankful that this place, that God put this church here. This is Jesus's church. It's not Josh's church. It's not Marsha's church. It is Jesus's church, and that's why it has grown. That's why it has exploded. That's why disciples are being made. That's why marriages that had no hope are now stronger and they're better together. That's why people that had a terminal diagnosis is now healed and standing here today. That's why people, their finances were crazy. Now they're steady and on the rock because they put God first and started tithing. That's what this place is here for the people. Because God loves you. He loves this area. He loves this world. He loves everyone. Amen. And we need to have a place for them. And I am thankful for Victory Church, a church that preaches the whole gospel. Doesn't leave a book or two out, but we preach it all, believe it all. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Yes. So let me tell you, you've got a reason to stand here today and praise God. He sent you a church. He sent you a feeding ground, a well that doesn't run dry right here in Troy. You've got a reason to shout. So this morning, let's be thankful to the Almighty God who loves and cares for us.
All right, slap somebody a high five and you may be seated. We're so glad you joined us for worship. And this morning we're talking about This Is Us. Somebody say, this is us. Do me a favor and look at your neighbor and tell them, this is us. This Is Us is a popular TV show that's been on for quite some time now. How many of y'all have ever seen that TV show? Okay, several of you here today. Marsha and I love watching that show. It's a story about a family and how their lives are so intertwined and connected. And really, that's what we are, Victory Church's family. I love to say that this sanctuary is just God's living room. And I like people to get comfortable in God's living room because this is where life happens. Amen. And I thank God that He is a part of every moment of our lives. We don't just go to church and get our Jesus on Sundays, but He's with us every day. And so today, let me just take a minute and talk to you about who we are, because this is us, and you need to know who that is. For many of you who have come recently, then you look around and you see things one way, but I want to say that it always hadn't been this way. As Marsha said earlier, we began with 22 people at 180 Center Street here in Troy, and on that first morning, September 19th of 2004, there was one man that got saved and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I was sitting in the office talking with some young guys this morning, and they said to me, are you blown away by what God's done? And I responded the same way I always have. I'm amazed, but I'm not surprised, because I know how big my God is. And I knew that from day one, what we set out to do was no small thing. And I want to encourage you today that no matter what you're doing, whether it's family, business, going to school, whatever it might be, that you don't treat what you've got in front of you right now as a small thing, because it is a seed for the harvest that you're going to experience later on. And like Marcia said earlier, I believe with all my heart that this is just the beginning of what God wants to do among us. Anna, can you run up here with me real quick, baby? Aunt, come on, Zoe, you can come with her too. Come here, honey. Y'all look so cute this morning. And I always put it like this. Zoe, how old are you?
Six.
You're six. You're pretty sharp. She's getting all her memory verses right in school and her spelling words. She's doing good in first grade. But Anna, how old are you?
13.
13 years old. And when's your birthday?
January 16th.
Okay. So Victory Church is just a little bit older than you. Well, these babies are doing pretty good for their age, aren't they? They're growing and they're developing and they're maturing. And you look great. You're beautiful. But do you have some growing left to do? Y'all think she's got some living left to do? There's some real fun stuff coming up for her. I mean, at 16, you get that license. At 18, you become an adult, start paying taxes. I'm not going to say what age she's going to get married at. To a mighty man of God who loves her even more than her daddy. You can date me until then. But she's got, and then she's going to have some babies. She's got some living left to do, right? Well, I want to tell you, when you look at Anna, you think of Victory Church. This is how old we are. And so we got some living left to do. God's got some stuff left for us to accomplish. Like Marcia said, we're just getting started. We're just coming together. There's just the formation of it right now. Would y'all let my girls know how much you love them? Thank you, sugar. And so let me talk to you today about the three words that best define who we are as a church. As we're talking about this is us. This is the big three for us at Victory Church. The first one is very simply this. Number one, passion. Somebody say passion. Look at your neighbor and tell them, be passionate. See, we're passionate about God. We're passionate about seeing people experience freedom. We're passionate about finding forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God. We're passionate about discovering our purpose in life. We're passionate about making a difference because we love the life we live because it's the life Jesus gave us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, he who has the Son has life. Hallelujah. He said, I am the light of the world. We're walking in the light and the life of Jesus Christ, and it's an abundant life. It's a big life. It's a full life. It's an overflowing life. And when you walk in the doors of this church, Cody, you can't help but see that we do everything with passion. We play music with passion. We serve donuts with passion. We shake hands with passion. We hug necks with passion. We preach the word with passion. We give with passion. We serve with passion. We meet needs with passion. Why? Where does all that come from? It comes from the first and greatest commandment of all. That Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I love the way the Message version says it because it says it like this. Love the Lord your God with all your passion, Matthew 22:37. And our desire is that when you come here, it ignites a passion in your heart. A passion for Jesus, a passion for the new, amazing, abundant, open, spacious, liberating life that God's given us. A passion for yourself, a passion for others around you. We want to help you make that transition every day from waking up and saying, good Lord, it's morning, to saying, good morning, Lord. Because this is the day the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. We believe with all our hearts that living for Jesus Christ is about so much more than getting ready for the last day of your life, which is where so many of us started and stayed. But it's about making the most of every day of our life. It's about making our life count for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so that passion is unlocked in us very simply when you understand, number one, that God is crazy about you. God is not mad at you. God is mad about you. John 3:16 makes that clear. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, are there any believers in the house today, shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not dying anymore. You're living. Hallelujah. You're not just breathing, but you're living. And the very next verse in verse 17 says, for God didn't send his Son into the world, Danielle, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That means God is for you. God is not against you today. Amen? Are you with me, church, at 9 o'clock? Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, God is for you. And so it shows us that God gave us his very best. He couldn't do any better than when he sent Jesus. And so God's message to us was clear that you deserve my best. He was passionate about us. He is crazy over you and over I.
And passion helps us to be our best. It helps us to give our best in everything we do, even when we don't feel like giving our best. And we give our best not because those we serve deserve it all the time, but we give our best because Jesus deserves it. We give our best because he's the one that deserves it. And so love makes us do crazy over-the-top things for the people we care about. And now we're crazy passionate about God because we know how crazy passionate he is about us. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. I love him because he first loved me. I love him because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. I'm serving him because he came and served me. I'm giving my life to him because of everything he's already given to me. And so it's easy to fall madly in love with a God when you know how madly in love with you he is. And that's what we need every person to grasp, is how much God loves you. And that's where experiencing victory in Jesus really begins. And so we've been radically changed by his unconditional love. Let me say that again. We've been radically changed by his unconditional love. I will never get over what Jesus Christ did for me. I will never stop being excited about what Jesus Christ has done to me. Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning. We have been radically changed by his unconditional love. And so that makes us do two things. Number one, we refuse to love each other any less than he loved us. Because he said in John chapter 13, verse 34, he said, a new commandment I give you, Becky, that you love each other the same way that I loved you. We refuse to love each other any less than he loves us. And that makes this a special place. The second thing it makes us do is we look for ways to boldly demonstrate the love of God to our world. We're constantly looking for ways we can show and share the love of Jesus with other people. How many of y'all have seen the Love Struck cards out in the lobby? How many of you have ever used one? Just raise your hand and wave at me. Awesome. And I encourage you to stop by and pick some up today. I love struck somebody this week in a drive-through line. I don't know who it was. They paid for what I had ordered, the person in front of me. So if you're sitting in here today, thanks so much. And what I ordered was like $2. And I said, hey, let me pray for the person behind me. And what they ordered was like a whole lot more than that. And I was like, praise God for the opportunity. But I want to encourage you to keep looking for ways that we can show our world the love of Jesus. I love that about, that's who we are. Like when the flood happened, I had one individual tell me that we had just met. He said, Red Cross called, but Victory Church showed up. That's what the kingdom ought to be all about, amen? We ought to be ahead of the government. We ought to be ahead of the other agencies. The kingdom of God ought to be running to be the Good Samaritan in every situation. Can you give God praise? So God's crazy passionate about us, but the other thing you've got to understand about where this passion comes from is that nobody lived with more passion for life than Jesus Christ. As you're reading your Bible, it's so exciting, and you see the life Jesus lived and how much passion he lived with. He was passionate about the Father, about purpose, about his friends, about his family, about making a difference and meeting needs. He showed us how to give life our very best and go after it with everything we've got. Jesus threw himself totally and completely into every moment he lived. What if we were totally present in the moment we're in right now? Every moment of the day, with every person we meet, what if we were totally present in that moment? Which brings me to, I just want to say congratulations to Chris and Wendy Wright on being grandparents. After 31 years, they got another girl in the family. Sophia Elizabeth, is that right? Can y'all give God praise for her? And we call her blessed in Jesus' name, spirit, soul, and body, God. I thank you for laying your hand on her body today. But Jesus showed us how to be in the moment. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, 17 that he literally clothed himself in passion. He got up in the morning and wore passion around his shoulders. And everything he did it with intensity. He did it with enthusiasm. He said he was consumed with a passion for the things of God. He said in Psalm 69, 9, passion for your house has consumed me. Well, we're passionate about God's house because Jesus is passionate about the Father's house. And I believe we've got a reason to be passionate. I mean, if you can't look at the cross of Calvary and see how much God loves us, my goodness, that is the ultimate example of what passion is all about. And so we go all in for God because God went all in for us. I thank God that he didn't just get partially crucified. He went all the way through it. He went all the way to death. And then he received the resurrection so that he could share it with us. And that's the only way this works. That's the only way life works. It's the only way marriage works. It's the only way your success, Nick, works, is if you go all in with God. Because most people want a great outcome, but I want to tell you today, you're only going to get back at least what you put in. You got to give God something to work with, and he's a multiplier. And here's what I know. I don't know a whole lot about math, but I know this much. Anything times zero is zero. One times zero is 1 million times zero is 1 billion times zero is 1 trillion times zero is. And so you got to give God something to work with so that he can multiply it. And so we refuse at Victory Church to be the meh emoji. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Meh. We really don't care one way or the other. You know the meh emoji is in the Bible? Seriously. It's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And God says, I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. I wish you were hot or cold. You got to pick one. But since you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, I don't want you to be meh. He's saying, I don't want you to go halfway. He's saying, I want you to go all in. He said in the parable of the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl of great price, that in both of those stories, the kingdom belongs to people who are willing to sell it all, who are willing to take up their cross, who are willing to lose their life, who are willing to run after Jesus Christ, Jeremiah 29:13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If you feel like you're not finding God, I want to ask you today, are you going after him with everything you've got? Hebrews 11:6. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. His reward belongs to those who go all in for God. Come on, church. It's time for you to get off of the fence and go all in for Jesus. If this is what we're doing at the rate we're giving God, what could we do if every person in this room and every person in this church gave 100% to God every day, gave 100% to your spouse every day, gave 100% to your kids and your employer and to the kingdom every single day? We've got to go after God. That's what it means to ask and seek and knock. It describes a person that's going after God, because if you don't ask, you don't receive. If you don't seek, you don't find. If you don't knock, he doesn't open it up. But let me tell you, when you ask, you receive. And when you seek, you find. And when you knock, he opens it up. Hallelujah. I had a man come to me just before service today, and he said, I just want to tell you how much God has done in my life, because I've learned to pray at this church. I've learned how to seek God in the tough moments. I was in a pinch a while back here, and God sent me everything I need, and he put a check in my hand for $1,500, and he said, you know where it can be used best, and I want to sow it into making a difference. I'm here to tell you today, when we go after God, God shows up. It's time for us to go all in with God. A friend I was talking to this morning, we were talking about living lives that matter and make a difference. And I told him, every single month I answer this question. If I were to die tomorrow, can I be able to say that I gave Marcia the best of me? If I were to die tomorrow, is there anything left undone that I could have or should have done with my children? Is there anything more that I could have done when it came to building God's kingdom and living out loud for Jesus Christ every day? And so this is something that came out of a comment I made to Marcia a couple years ago. I said, if I were to die tomorrow, there's nothing I could have given more than I have right now. See, we want to finish our lives in a way that makes a difference. We all want to leave a legacy. We all want to live a big life for Jesus Christ. Amen? But you can't wait till the end of your life to start answering that question. You got to answer it right now. What if from this day forward, we said, God, I'm going to give you everything I can. I'm going to give my family everything I can. I'm going to give my friends everything I can. I'm going to be there in the moment like you were, Jesus. There's nothing left that I could have given. That's what living with no regrets is all about. Because here's what we're after, y'all. We're after, when we meet Jesus face to face on that glorious day, that we hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But I want to tell you, I'm a little bit different. I'm a little bit twisted. I don't want to just hear well done. I want him to say, Josh Payne, overdone. Because what he did for me was over the top. And I will never get over what Jesus Christ did in my heart on a Wednesday night when he delivered me from drug addiction, from alcoholism, from my bondage and pain, and most of all, the fact that he wrapped his arms around me and loved me like I was the only human being alive, and he filled me with his Holy Spirit, and he shot me out of a cannon, and my life has moved from glory to glory, from fruit to more fruit to much fruit, from victory to victory, from height to height, and I can't wait to see what God's got for all of us next. Can you give him praise for a big future? So let's live our passion for Jesus out loud every day, and let's go after God with everything we've got. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's go. Number two is purpose. And this is what we're talking about on Wednesday nights. I encourage you to come and not miss out. It's amazing what happened last Wednesday night, and this week is going to be even greater. And so here's what you need to know. We talked about passion number one and purpose number two. But passion gets me moving, but it's purpose that keeps me going. Purpose is the reason I can't wait to get up every single morning. Your purpose is the reason why God created you. I said this Wednesday night. One of my favorite quotes is Mark Twain. The two greatest days in every man's life are number one, the day he's born, and number two, the day he finds out why. You are created for a reason. Every one of us here are created with divine potential. Somebody say potential. The root word of potential is potent. There is a potency to our life, and that's why we've got to make sure we do not allow the devil to dilute us and to water us down. We've got to stay concentrated. When you have a bottle of cleaner from the store, it says from concentrate. It means you might need to dilute it to use it. Well, let me tell you right now, God wants you in your undiluted form. When you are concentrated, when you are focused on the purpose God created you for, that's when we begin to make a maximum impact with our lives. And so we've got to understand that I was created for more. So I refuse to settle for less. I'm not going after that. I'm not going to live in sin. I'm not going to give God less than my best. I've been bought with a price. I was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And discovering your purpose is the key to making a difference and living a life that matters. And the good news is you don't need to create your own purpose. You just need to discover the plan God has already prepared and put in place for you. And that's what we do every single week, Shirley Spencer, in the Word of God. And that's what I love. The more we read God's Word, the more we see His plan for our lives. He has not hidden it from you. He has hidden it for you so that you will continue going after Him. We cannot live God's life apart from God. And so we are passionate about helping you find and fulfill and finish everything God has put you here to do. And that's what we're doing every single week. God didn't save you so you could come to church and sit in a pew this morning. Hello. God didn't save you so you could go to church. God saved you to be the church. And that means you're created for a purpose, and there's a reason why you're here, and we're here to help you discover that. And again, that's what we're doing on Wednesday nights, and I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. But purpose is the unique mission that God has given each of us and that He's given all of us. That's what's amazing about it. There are things He created all of us to do. We talked about those five things Wednesday. And then there are things He created only you to do, things that only you can do. And when it comes to purpose, there's three things you've got to do. Number one, you've got to find your purpose. Somebody say, find your purpose. And here's why. Because His purpose gives us a life greater than anything we could have ever dreamed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. That's mind-blowing. God has prepared something for you greater than anything you could even begin to imagine. And verse 10 says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is showing those things to us. See, what He saved you for is greater than what He saved you from. And we've got to grab a hold of that. Maybe God saved you from a lot. But let me tell you, for all of us here today, what He saved you for and what He created you to do is so much bigger than the things He created you not to do. Amen? And see, that's what happens. A lot of times we think, oh man, really good Christians are people who obey all the word and they don't do all the bad stuff. Wrong answer. We're focused on the wrong thing. God created us for something greater than what he saved us from. And that's what we're trying to discover. All of us have to make a living. But some of us who choose to and follow Jesus will get to make a difference. How many of you know today that when you start making a difference at what you're doing to make a living, then every single day becomes a day of purpose, and every single day becomes a day that you can show others the love and the life of Jesus Christ that is flowing through us and out of us when I do everything I do with a passion for him. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. I love that. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Here's why. Here's why you were born again. So we can do, somebody say, I can do. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I was talking to Sarah Jennings just the other day. Sarah, are you in here today? Hello, Sarah. Sarah does so many things to serve in so many amazing ways around here, and she's kind of been in transition for a few months now and moving her around, and she's doing some great things. But here's what I want to say. She's awesome. She's like a Lego. Y'all know Legos? Toys? You can use them with any set, any color, any place. They all work together, and it don't matter, but there's always a place for a Lego. That's Sarah Jennings. And here's what she said. She said, I'll do whatever you need me to do. I've just got a big yes in my heart. Can y'all give God praise for Sarah today? I think about Miss Carol and how phenomenal of a job she does back there in the cafe. I think she might have already slipped out. Carol Jenkins, she said something similar. She said, I'll do whatever you need me to do. Can y'all give God praise for all the ladies that work in our cafe? Amen. So number one, find your purpose. Number two, you've got to follow your purpose because his purpose is making us greater than we ever have been. Purpose connects me to something greater than myself. And number three, you've got to fulfill your purpose. Somebody say fulfill. You've got to fulfill your purpose. You've got to find it, you've got to follow it, and you've got to fulfill it. Our purpose is the goal of our lives. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says it like this. The Apostle Paul speaking, he says, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Well, do you guys know that that's every one of our responsibilities sitting in here today? Mike, that's your responsibility, and it's my responsibility. Sandy, it's your responsibility, and it's my responsibility. One of the greatest callings of our lives, one of the greatest privileges we all have, is that we have the opportunity of introducing other people to Jesus Christ. I was talking to Hunter. Hunter, where are you? Wave at me. He was talking to me about a friend of his earlier and how he was sharing God's word with them and helping them to read God's word and how it's making a difference in their life. And he went out to the bookstore and bought that individual devotional so that they can keep growing in God's word every single day. And it's one of the greatest joys of our life is to help people grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Can y'all give God praise for Hunter, a young life changing lives? But the Apostle Paul said, my life's worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. Every one of us has a work, has something to do that Jesus has assigned to us. Whatever that might be. Cody, I know you guys are a coach, and I know you're doing a great job. But coaching, when you coach for Jesus, you're impacting lives for eternity. Can y'all give God a hand for all of our teachers and coaches today? And that work that each of us have to do is to live for Jesus Christ in a way that retells the good news to others every single day. And we all do that in different ways, whether it's as a mechanic or a teacher or a mother or being a father or owning a company or being an executive or entry-level associate, whatever it might be, we are working in a way that glorifies Jesus so that we can earn the respect of unbelievers when they watch how we conduct our life in every arena. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight. Y'all know that there's some weight that builds up on us in life, isn't there? He said, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. My purpose, your purpose, is our race. It's the race that God has marked out for us. And so my point to you today is this. If we're going to run, let's run to win. That's what the Apostle Paul said. If we're going to run, let's run like champions. I don't want to just run. I want to run in a way that it inspires other people. This is our race, y'all. This is our time, y'all. This is our generation. And we are going to run to win. Like Esther, they said, who knows if we've been created for such a time as this? Well, I'm come to tell you today that at Victory Church, you have been created, Eric, for such a time as this. Your life counts. Your life matters. And so we make a choice today to spend our time and our talent and our treasure on things that are eternal and on things that matter. We will sow into our purpose and we will give God everything we've got. We're going to be passionate and we are a people of purpose. Can you give him praise this morning? Amen. And third and lastly today, number one was passion. Number two is purpose. And number three, as I'm describing us, is people. Somebody say people. There's nothing more important to God than people. There's nothing more valuable. There's nothing he treasures more. There's nothing he cares more about than people. Because people are the only thing on this earth that's eternal. People are our priority. You know, we count everything we do. In the last 14 years, I very humbly say that we have had the opportunity and privilege of leading way over 4,134 people to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe you didn't hear me. 4,134 people. I'm going to try it again. 4,134 people that are not going to hell. They're going to go to heaven. They've met Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We count everything we do. You know why we count everything we do? We count people because people count. Heaven counts people. You know that? There's a book in heaven called the Lamb's Book of Life. And there recorded on the pages is every person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so here's what you need to know about people. You need to know that there is nothing more important than our relationships. And as you go about your week this week, before you even walk out of here, I want you to know there's nothing more important in your life than your relationships. At the end of my life, Rich, it doesn't matter what I drove, and I like driving my truck, both of them, a lot. It doesn't matter what I wore. It doesn't matter what kind of shoes I had. It doesn't matter what kind of house I lived in. Nobody at the end of their life that I've ever been by their bedside as they're saying goodbye. Nobody I've ever been by has said, bring me my possessions. Every single person says the same thing. Bring me the people that I have the privilege of loving and being loved by. I want to finish with people. Amen. That means nothing is more important in our life than people, because people are the only thing we can take with us to heaven. You can't take anything you own. Everything you see on this earth is going to be burned up by fire except people. Amen? Amen? And so people are what we invest in. It's what we value. Relationship comes first, because relationships are the lifeblood of any family. And this is a family. God's kingdom is a family. We're the family of God. That's what the church is. It's a privilege to be in relationship with you. Marty, it's a privilege to be in relationship with you. It's a privilege for every single person that allows you the opportunity to be in relationship with them. And I think if we looked at it with more gratitude, we would lose the entitlement mentality that you need to treat me a certain way and start saying, thank you that I even get to know you. Thank you that I even get to be in relationship with you. It's a privilege to be in relationship with each other. Think about it, y'all. It's a privilege that you let us in. It's a privilege that you share your life with us. It's a privilege that you share your story and share your time and share your struggles and share your wins. And we don't take that for granted in here. And I want that to carry over when you walk out of here every single day, that we don't take that for granted. I want you to think about it right now. Right now, at this moment, you're sharing the most valuable thing you could ever give us, and that's your time. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. And the fact that you took time, Courtney, to be here today, that means the world to us today, because you're sharing a piece of your life with us. You're sharing a piece of your life with God. And we take that serious every single day. And it's the most valuable gift we can give others. And that's why we're never going to waste your time. We always want to send you out with more than you have the ability to go apply in your life this week, because we don't want to waste your time. We place a high value and priority on quality time together. Nothing is more important than relationships. It's a privilege to be in relationship with each other. The third thing you've got to know about relationships is we've got to treasure the people that God put in our life today. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. The Bible says, why are you bragging about tomorrow? Who knows what tomorrow might hold? I'm not waiting for tomorrow. I'm going to love you today. I'm going to share with you what I think about you today. Tomorrow may not come. If I admire something in you, I'm not going to wait until your funeral to tell the world what I loved about you. We're going to talk about it today. I'm not going to wait to reconcile until tomorrow. Tomorrow might not come. I'm not going to forgive tomorrow. I'm not going to apologize tomorrow. I'm not going to let go of resentment tomorrow. I'm not going to be jealous of that thing anymore. Come on, church. We want to be known for being bridge builders, not wall builders. We are the reconcilers. We ought to be moving people from enemy back into friendship. That's what the gospel is all about. Let me tell you this about relationship. There's only one kind of human being, flawed. Nobody's perfect, not even you. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's okay. You're not perfect. So just lower your expectation right now, because I don't care who it is. You just hang around them for a little bit, they're going to let you down. Am I telling the truth today? Like, come on, just change your attitude. Just get real. Look at your other neighbor you've been ignoring this morning. Tell them, get real. Now don't get offended. There's only one kind of human being. After all the years I've been in ministry and everybody I've met, we're all flawed. And at some point, we all blow it. And we all let somebody else down, whether intentionally or unintentionally. But no matter who they are, no matter what they did to you, no matter how stupid they act, we've got to choose, Blair, to see their value. We've got to choose to look into their heart. Paul said, I know no man according to the flesh. In other words, I'm not going to look at your life from the outside. I'm not going to just look at what you say to me. He said, every single one of us have a hidden treasure on the inside. And it is the divine deposit God made, that we are all worth the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only difference between where you are and where they are is a matter of time. So just give them a minute. I promise you they'll get there. Amen? Can you give God praise for his grace today? And that's what we've got to do for each other. We've got to give each other grace. And we've got to show each other respect. I love Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says this. It says, make allowance for each other's faults. Where's Kyle Landis? Is he in here? What's up, Kyle? Kyle does a pretty good job handling some money. He's doing great. And Kyle, you know, an allowance, when an accountant hears that, you start thinking about money that's set aside for something. Make an allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. How many of you have ever been offended by somebody? Right? Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. He's saying, I want you to make allowance for other people's stupidity. He's saying, I want you to factor into your emotional forecast the fact that dumb stuff is coming your way. He said, I want you to put it in your budget and just go on and make room in your emotional budget, in your forgiveness budget. I want you to make room for forgiving somebody for the stupid things they do to you. Here's why. God says, because that's what I've done for you. And I've forgiven you of so much more. So how could you hold anything so less against somebody else? Here's what I know today. I know that I know that we have been connected by God's divine design. I know that he's brought us together. There are faces in this room. Some of you I have known for years, and I've walked past you on the streets, and we've talked to each other in public, and we've gotten to know each other outside of this room. But one by one, God has brought us together. And today, we have the privilege of looking into each other's eyes and celebrating Jesus and worshiping together and standing side by side as we lift our arms and we glorify God and we receive his word and we see miracles take place among us and we are able to sow our lives into not only the kingdom but into one another. And I thank God for that privilege. I think about guys like Calvin Bristol. Calvin, there was a time when you and I didn't know each other outside of Jesus. We just know each other from a business standpoint. I thank God today for the opportunity and privilege I've had of sharing life with you and seeing you greet people with that big smiling face and that flavor saver you've grown. On those front doors, opening the doors and letting people know, hey, we're glad to see you today. And I thank God for that privilege. I don't take it for granted. My life is better because of you, and I hope your life is better because of me. And I believe that we're becoming better people than we ever could have been without each other, and more importantly, without Jesus. And so that's how God's brought us in from 22 to where we are today. One by one, he's connected us because we've gone out we as in all of us, and connected with other people. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges, Jeff, and compel people to come in that my house might be full. Jeff does a phenomenal job mowing our yard every single week. And he gets upset when it's wet and there's ruts like today. But man, I'm telling you, he takes it so serious. He mows with a passion when you see Jeff mowing. But let me tell you something about Jeff. Jeff, there was many years you sat on that lawnmower in our lawn and you never came in this place. And I thank God that you're in here today. I thank God that you're a part of this family today. And I love you with all my heart. See, following Jesus makes all of us better. Y'all agree with that? He said, a new commandment I'm giving you. Love each other the way I loved you. Well, did Jesus love you, Sue, because you deserved it? No. He said, love each other that way. And then he goes on and he says this, the world is watching. And he said, they will know that you're my disciples, not because of how good you sing Glorious Day. Not because, even though y'all sang it really good. Not because of the fact you're a tither, not because of the fact that you read your Bible, not because of the fact that you got I Go to Victory Church sticker on the back of your car. He said, they're going to know that you're followers of me because of your love for each other. Here's what he said. He said, they're watching the way you treat each other. And what I need you to do is I need you to show them the way I treated you so that they know, like Marcia said this morning, that there is a place where they can come, where there's somebody in their corner, where there's somebody who believes in them, where there's somebody who's for them, where there's somebody who is able to help them get back up. Here's what I've learned. People don't need us to tell them where they're wrong. They just need somebody to show them how to live right. I thank God for those people in my life. I thank God that this is a house of mercy and a house of grace. I thank God that this is a house of restoration and repentance and where lives that are off track are put back on track. I thank God that you can turn from sin and live a life that glorifies Jesus. I thank God today that there is more to our life than what not to do, but Christianity is all about what you can do. It's such a big life, y'all. It's such an expansive life. Jesus said it's an abundant life, and I give him praise for that. Can you give him praise for that kind of life today? And I'm just of the opinion that if my faith in Jesus doesn't impact the people closest to me in a positive way, then it's no good. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. The fruit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And here's what I know about fruit. No tree eats its own fruit, Michelle. That fruit is there for somebody else. What God is doing in your life is there to share with somebody else. And so that means what we've got going on is special. And we refuse to let anything tear it apart. We will fight for each other, but we're not going to fight with each other. We're going to give grace and we're going to show respect. We help those in need because that's what family does, and family is what we are. This is the most functional family I've ever been a part of. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, for some of us, this in this room is more family than the people we share our own DNA with. Let me tell you, this is the only place that some of us can come to get a hug that week. This is the only place that some of us come that have somebody to talk to that week. This is the only place that some of us can come to have somebody who actually cares about us and looks into our eyes and asks how we're doing and wants to really know what's going on in our life. This is the only place some people can come to get smiled at all week long. And so we treasure our time with each other, and we will never stop reaching out to those who aren't here yet because we believe what God is doing in us and among us and through us is something special that should be guarded. And our mission is too important to let the devil sidetrack us and talk us out of being where God planted us. We are the hope of the world. We are the light of the world. We are the city set on a hill. We have the privilege of introducing people to Jesus Christ. They are our legacy. That's where we focus. There's no distance we won't go. There's no dollar we won't spend to show our world how much Jesus Christ loves them. That's what we're here for. That's what we do. That's what this is all about. It's why we sing. It's why we serve. It's why we give. It's why we read. It's why we pray. Purpose is the connector between the passion of God and the people he loves. And I thank God for a church full of people today with hearts that beat for God and that are burning for people. I don't know about you, but I just have this swelling sense on the inside of me of what God's about to do. I thank God I've watched him send so many people in recently. For those of you who have come recently, I thank God for you. And here's why. Because Jesus said, the harvest is ready. Don't say wait till later. He said, but I need some help. And here's what I know. Help comes before harvest. Yeah. And if this is the amount of help coming in,
yeah,
I can't imagine the harvest right around the corner from us right now. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we call that harvest in. God, every person you've ordained to be a part of this ministry, to receive the life-giving word, Father, from the north, south, east, and the west, we call them in the name of Jesus. But before we do that, Father, every person standing in this room, I ask that you would fill us with a fresh infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we go out and we reap the harvest and we bring it into your house. Father, we thank you that they're coming. We thank you that they're being set free. We thank you that they're being saved. We thank you for marriages being restored. We thank you that lost kids are coming back home. In the name of Jesus, God, we receive the increase you desire. Come on, can you give God praise this morning? This is us. This is who we are. John, you went to Penn State, and they got this thing y'all do down there. Then one side of the stadium shouts, we are, and what does the other side say back?
Penn State.
Come on, Victory Church. I got a little drill for you, Mike Roof. We are.
Victory Church.
We are.
Victory Church.
We are.
Victory Church.
Come on, can you give God praise for being a part of what he's doing in the earth today?